Hello, I'm Dr. Richard Friend. Taking control of and improving your health requires the most relevant and timely health information available. And University Medical Center is here to help with facts and advice about important health topics that you care about. We know that your health matters.
For this week's Health Matters Report, we're sitting down with Dr. Tom Wyda. Dr. Wyda is the Associate Dean for Clinical Affairs for the College and Chief Medical Officer for the University Medical Center. He's also a professor of family, internal, and rural medicine. Thank you so much, Dr. Wyda, for joining us.
Thank you.
Today's topic is about the legislative concerns in healthcare. Let's start off with the recent Supreme Court decisions about the IVF bill in Alabama.
Right. Well, recently the Supreme Court of Alabama decided with a case that amounted to a wrongful death case that the embryo, which is a fertilized egg, is a child. And it didn't matter whether that embryo was in a uterus or in a woman's body or outside of a woman's body. And as a result, this had an impact on the in vitro fertilization clinics, IVFs as we call, because they were concerned that their process requires them to have multiple embryos. And so they were concerned, what do you do with the embryos that you no longer put in a patient's body? The reason is that when you do in vitro fertilization, they do create multiple embryos. Some of these, when they test them before implantation, have genetic defects and not going to survive, so they're not going to implant those. Others, they have extras, because the first time they try this, it may not take, so they may need to try this multiple times. So as a result, there are leftover embryos. But with this wrongful death case and saying that these are children, it created a significant problem for these clinics. And so many of the clinics in Alabama shut down and are no longer offering IVF because of this Supreme Court decision.
How does this bill affect the people going through IVF?
Well, it has a major effect because, one, it's going to be very difficult to get IVF in Alabama with the way things stand right this instant. Also, what makes it very difficult, it's even difficult for them to transport those embryos outside of state lines because there's no transport agency that's willing to take that risk. Because what if their truck overturns, gets in an accident, or their refrigeration or freezer units malfunction along the way? They're going to be hit with a wrongful death suit. And so it has ripple effects throughout IVF treatment.
How does it affect healthcare professionals?
Well, it basically means that healthcare professionals can be sued for wrongful death. Now, fortunately, it's not a criminal case yet, but it certainly would be a concern that if even an accident happens, you can be sued for wrongful death.
When we talked yesterday, we talked about some gaps that are left in these bills. Do you want to touch on any of those gaps?
Well, currently they're considering, the state legislature considering bills to help correct some of this problem. And it's basically to protect for the IVF clinics and saying that basically there's no criminal or civil liability to those who are performing IVF. Now, the bills are still in process. I believe both the Senate and the House have passed legislation. They're slightly different. I know the one bill has actually a time limit on this, where sometime in 2025, the bill expires. Also, they both have that it's retroactive. They don't say retroactive to when. And so I'm wondering how that might affect the decision that the court made in that wrongful death case that did award monetary damages. So that's a concern. And then there was some amendments, which I'm not sure are there anymore, where the physicians and the clinics were protected, but not the device manufacturers. And so that too would be a problem in that what device manufacturer is going to ship those devices to Alabama if they know they could be hit with a wrongful death lawsuit. So the legislation is still in flux. They're hoping actually to get it out tomorrow, Wednesday, and get it to the signature of the governor. but there may still be gaps. And that goes back to, again, the original definition that an embryo is a child. And so if you take that to the logical conclusion, then you have to be concerned about IUDs, which prevent implantation of a fertilized embryo, and maybe even other birth control methods, such as the implanted long-term birth control. So we need to be a little careful. We don't know. It's really unknown, and it certainly makes all physicians who do women's health very nervous.
Let's talk about changes for pre-authorization. Tell us a little bit about that.
Right. Another major concern for citizens in Alabama, and actually in the country, is the pre-authorization process. And many of us know that when we've tried to get either a medication authorized or a study authorized, it may take days or weeks for that to occur, and that it can really delay care. And so there are a number of movements being made, particularly in the Medical Society of Alabama, where they're really trying to put some guardrails around this. So that one of the things that they're proposing is that for emergency pre-authorization, that be done within 24 hours, and that for routine ones be done within 48 hours, business days. Another area that they're looking at is that if you've already been pre-authorized for a medication, that authorization should last at least for a year or till the end of treatment. Also, if you change insurance plans, that pre-authorization should last for at least 90 days. And then finally, if there's a denial, they're saying that a physician should be doing the denial, not AI, not somebody with lower skill levels. It really should be a physician denial that makes that. And so that secondary review also should be done in a timely manner.
And those reviews are done by a panel. Am I understanding that correctly? That when someone goes for pre-authorization, it's done by a panel of doctors that are looking to make a decision, or is the authorization done by the insurance company?
The pre-authorization is done by the insurance company. Usually the first level of prior authorization, I would say a nurse is following a protocol, and that's what they decide on. If you aren't following that protocol, and then it's denied.
That's what I never understood about pre-authorization, is that there's some details that your doctor understands, but then they're giving it to somebody else that might not see some things. Am I correct?
Right. I mean, the physician seeing the patient has an index of suspicion. And believe it or not, sometimes it's just a gut feeling. And you can't really describe it, but it's a gut feeling that you say, wow, this person needs a CT scan because they just don't look right. I've seen them year after year, and there's something going on. They've lost 10 pounds, and they're just not looking right. And they're saying, oh, well, I'm just not hungry, or I've been trying to lose weight, but they don't look right. And how do you describe that in a protocol? You can't. But then you find something. You do the CT scan, you find something. And sometimes one of the other things that they're fighting against on that is sometimes they will authorize a procedure and then deny it afterwards when the bill goes through. And so that's another thing that the medical society is trying to lobby against.
Is there anything else you want to mention about the pre-authorization process or next steps or phases or anything we should be expecting?
Well, I'm hoping that the legislature takes this up. It's an important issue. Certainly, there's pros and cons. But I think, if they really look at it, one of the other things that could be helpful is what's called a gold card. There are certain physicians that, all their pre-authorizations go through. They follow the rules. They know how to do it. They know what they're doing. And then there are others that, they're ordering a CAT scan for, runny nose. Those are the ones that need pre-authorization, not the docs that really actually have a very high rate of approvals. Why go through that process? It costs the insurance company money, it costs the doc time and money, and it inconveniences the patient.
Thank you very much, Dr. Wida, for joining us for this week's Health Matters Report.
Well, thank you.
To learn more from us about these and other important health topics, visit cchs.ua.edu. And for all your primary health care needs, visit University Medical Center with locations in Tuscaloosa, Northport, Demopolis, Fayette, and Carrollton. Thanks for listening.